Hello and welcome to our worship, St Andrew's and All Saints Contemporary Service Online. A very warm welcome to you all. My name's Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here. And if you're joining us for the first time, it's a delight to have you with us and a very warm welcome to you. Now, today we are beginning a new series of teaching out of Romans, from Romans 12 to the end of the letter. And the title across this teaching series is Called to be God's People. Called to be God's People. And what we're doing is looking at what it means as we come out of the pandemic, as we reconnect, we're reminding ourselves what it means to be God's people, to be a radical community of love, and to be the body of Christ in our local community. And what that means for us as a whole body here in Malvern, but also what does it mean for us as individuals to fully express who we are, how Christ made us, and express that in our community. So that's what's in store for us over the coming weeks, which is very exciting. And Judith Keane is going to be teaching into that later in our service. But part of this service, and what for reasons that will become clear later, we are going to have communion together. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this online, is to go and get perhaps a piece of bread, some juice or some red wine. And so there's a point at which we can symbolically share the bread and the wine together. But more of that in a moment. But I encourage you to go and get that so that can be part of our worship this morning. So let us worship and begin our worship. So can I encourage you to stand wherever you are, if you would like to stand, and we're going to sing. But let me begin by reading Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And as we come into worship today, as we sing and rejoice, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessing. But may we be the people that show you on earth. May we be the body of Christ in our communities today, tomorrow, and in the weeks and years ahead, bringing the good news of Jesus to those who don't yet know him. Amen. So let, wherever you are, I encourage you to sing these words as we are led in sung worship by the band. Thank you. we lift our arms to the Lord in praise. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, why don't you just speak out your praise to the Lord right now? Declare your wonder of him. Declare his goodness. Use your own words. Speak them out and praise the Lord. Thank him for the things that you're grateful for. Pour out your own words, your own heart to the Lord in praise right now. I'm going to go quiet. You do that wherever you are. Declare the goodness of the Lord in your place. We bless you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your compassion and your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you for your gentleness and your goodness, your flourishing. We thank you, Lord, that you poured out your Spirit upon us, giving us a new heart, a new soul. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to worship and praise the Lord? Now, as I said, we're beginning our series in Romans. And today, the title of our teaching and today is A Call to Consecration. And Judith is going to be teaching out of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I don't know when you last read the letter of the Romans, but I want to encourage you in the coming days just to find a moment to sit down. You'll need a bit more than a moment to read the whole letter, but perhaps find a few moments to read and get the whole picture of this beautiful letter. But what Paul, who is writing to the church in Rome, does is he spends the first 11 chapters declaring and articulating the good news of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God now being poured out on both Jew and Gentile. And he just articulates that. And then we reach what we know as chapter 12. And at the beginning of chapter 12, Paul, having told everybody and written about the good news, says this. He says, therefore. And we're going to hear the rest of what he says after that, but basically he then goes into the latter part of the letter and it's all about how to be the church of Jesus Christ and the unified church of Jesus Christ. But he follows that, therefore, because of God's great mercy. And because of God's great mercy, we hear that good news. And therefore we are set free from our brokenness, from our sin, from the things that we constantly get wrong. And perhaps most of all, we are set free from the way that we have turned our back on God. And we are brought back to God through Jesus Christ. So let's grasp that great mercy of God now, recognizing that we fall short of the glory of God. And let us confess our sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be. And we may be do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in the knowledge that we are set free, that we are forgiven, let's take that once again into celebration. The reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. I wonder how you have found the isolation and social distancing of the last 15 months, and how you are feeling now as we are hopefully coming out of the pandemic. I've realised that we're going to have to get used to meeting together again in person. I've been working at home for almost all of the time, and a couple of weeks ago when I went into the office for a few days, I was absolutely exhausted. Having to drive in, find a car parking space, go into the office, talk to people, observe all the social distancing requirements was just so tiring. It really took it out of me. And something that had been an everyday experience I took for granted had become new and strange. And so we've realised as a team at work that we're going to have to prepare people to come back. But we're also recognising and excited that there are some things that we're going to be able to do much more effectively when we're back together face to face. In church too, I think we're going to have to get used to being together again, rebuilding links and friendships, getting used to being in the building again. But also we've got this wonderful opportunity to look at how we can work together effectively as God's people. And that's really what we're going to be doing in this new series of in Romans over the next few weeks. I love Romans. It's a wonderful book, although undoubtedly daunting, for the depth of what it covers. And the two little verses that we're thinking about today were some of the first that I learned as a new Christian. And I remember thinking at the time that I really didn't understand what they meant. And I'm still not sure I totally understand what they mean, but I've really enjoyed wrestling with them. And I hope the thoughts I'm going to bring today will be of interest and useful for us as we think about our situation as the people of God in this new time together. But first, let's put it into context, because we're starting in chapter 12. So what went before? Well, in chapters 1 to 11, Paul wrote a very detailed theological explanation of the gospel. So in chapters 1 to 4, he talks about the issue of human sinfulness and the effectiveness of Christ in dealing with it. In chapters 5 to 8, he talks about how faith in Christ and the gift of the Spirit lead to a righteousness before God that the Old Testament law couldn't give. And then chapters 9 to 11 talk about God's faithfulness and inclusivity, how both Jews and non-Jews are welcomed into relationship with God as his children. Then we get to chapter 12, and it starts with the word therefore. Therefore is quite a loaded word, isn't it? Therefore kind of points back to what's gone before. And he's saying, right, well, in light of everything I've said, what conclusion can we draw? What comes next? What comes out of that? And of course, what we talked about, what he's talked about, is the gospel. So he's saying that there's a consequence to that. There's something that comes out of that. There's a response that we are called to make. And chapters 12 to 15 really deal with that. What are the ethical implications of God's saving work for us? And we get a little overview of that in these two verses. So what can we say about that response? Well, firstly, we see It's one of gratitude, not duty. And I found out that the Greek word charis, which means grace, God's grace, is actually also the root for our word gratitude. And I love that idea that our gratitude comes out of his grace. His grace leads to gratitude. In particular, God says that we respond, Paul says that we respond to his mercies, a word that is used 8 times in the preceding chapters. So, for instance, Romans 9:16 says, salvation does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And Romans 11 verse 30 says, you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy. How often do we stop and think of the mercies that God has shown us and express our gratitude? Something I felt called to do more often as I've been looking at these verses over these last few weeks is just to tell God I love him. Paul also makes it clear that this is a corporate response. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters. It's thought that there were tensions between the Jewish and non-Jewish Christians in Rome. Paul is having none of it. You know, they're all in this together now. Just as everyone has received God's mercy, so everyone is called on to respond to it. God doesn't distinguish by background or ethnicity or experience or anything else, so neither should we. I think that says something quite challenging to us about our inclusivity, who we are prepared to welcome into our church perhaps, who we make friends with, how we respond to people who aren't like us. And I also think that just as those Jewish and non-Jewish Christians were called upon to see themselves as one body, so if we have relationships that have been challenging in the past, perhaps this is a good time to acknowledge that, reset the clock, and start over as we move back into worship together. So maybe there's somebody you know you need to go and put a relationship right with. So it's a response of gratitude, but it is also a response of both body and mind. So firstly, Paul talks about the body, and he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices in the NIV version. Sacrifice is perhaps a difficult word for us, certainly in our culture. But of course, at the time when Paul was writing, everyone would have been used to giving offerings to the gods, and perhaps offering is an easier word. Those offerings might have been of grain or fruit or other things, but would often have been of animals and would usually have been in a temple. And here, Paul is calling on the people of God not to do that anymore. They don't need to give him dumb, dead animals, but he's calling on them to give themselves. After all, we can carry out much more useful tasks for him than a dead animal. A living sacrifice, which he calls us to be, can interact with the world in relationship with God. And so our bodies are a vehicle for concrete, practical acts of service, which are a way of expressing our gratitude and love. And we do this, of course, not in a temple, not necessarily even in a church, but out in the world, in the workplace, the home, the community. And you might remember that we have used the expression frontline in the past to describe this, the place where we find ourselves to live out our lives. And the Message version of this verse says, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, doing things that please him. Paul also says that this is our spiritual act of worship. So again, he's making the point, this isn't a physical offering. It's not a thing that we're giving him. It's a spiritual one. And that word can also mean rational or reasonable. And in some translations, it's described as intelligent service. In other words, it seems to me that Paul is saying, this is something we think about. It's deliberate. We choose to think about how we offer ourselves to God. How can we best serve God? And so, have you thought about that? What do you enjoy? What are you good at? Where's your area of service? And as we come out of lockdown, where might you want to get involved? It might be something you've done before. It might be something new and different, using your gifts and talents. You know, there's a call for more technical support. Maybe that's something you could do. But let's act intelligently and thoughtfully as we think about what we can do for God. And I just found it interesting that there's one other reference I found to spiritual sacrifices, and that comes in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter says that the people are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And there again, there's that emphasis on this is something we do together as a body, not just as individuals. And won't it be exciting to see over the next few months, how do our bricks fit together? And is God going to build something new and different? Paul also calls our acts of service, our offerings, to be holy and pleasing to God. The early chapters of Romans give examples of how the body can be used in ways that displease God. By gossiping, lying, doing evil, committing adultery, turning the eyes and ears away from God. But the body, of course, can also be used to give words of encouragement and love, to bring healing, to do good deeds, to listen to God. It's a choice we're given to make for ourselves. So all of that and much more is packed into verse 1. What about verse 2? Well, this is where Paul talks about the mind. And there's a choice here as well. We are challenged not to think and act the way the rest of society does. The J.B. Phillips translation says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould." Isn't that a great description of how we're pressured sometimes to just be exactly the same as everybody else, as though we were being turned out of a jelly mould? And this is a common theme throughout Scripture, right from when the people of Israel, as they enter the Promised Land, are warned not to behave like the nations around them, because it will lead them the wrong way. But it's really difficult, isn't it, to not be the same as others sometimes. We are social animals. That's why lockdown has been so hard for many of us. We do respond to peer pressure. We often want to fit in, to conform, to not stand out. And not to do so can make life difficult. It certainly did for the early church. But Jesus called his followers to be countercultural, to question perceived wisdom, to ask, why are we doing that? To sometimes ignore the rules if they were wrong, to look out for others, to include and value those who are often ignored and marginalised, to act sacrificially, to forgive others, and many other things. I wonder, is one of those areas something you know you struggle with, or is there something else that you know you do tend to be more like the cultural norm than perhaps you should be? Paul says that in order to change that, to act and think in a way that's different, we need renewed minds, which of course is something only God can really do. And that, in time, will enable us to know what is pleasing to God. He doesn't really go into detail how that happens in this verse, but elsewhere Paul talks about the dual role of God's word and God's spirit in helping to change us. Children don't instinctively know how to behave, do they? What is good manners and what's not really done? They have to be told and told and told and told again and shown what is acceptable. And hopefully in due time it becomes second nature and we no longer have to remind them to say please and thank you and to close their mouths when they're chewing. And so as we grow spiritually, we need to be actively listening to God and asking him to show us what is acceptable, what do we need to change, what is he pleased with? And in due course, this will become more instinctive and our behaviours will change as we become transformed and more like him. But that does take some humility, doesn't it? You know, being prepared to recognise our faults and failings isn't always comfortable or pleasant. But we are expected to grow and to become mature. Just as we don't expect our children to still be dependent on milk or being reminded to say thank you after they reach a certain age, so we should be growing in maturity as a community if we're really going to be able to serve God effectively. The writer of Hebrews says, I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God again, starting from square one. Baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So, as a church, let's make sure that we're taking on some solid food and are growing in our ability to tell what pleases God. The title today was Called to Consecration. And something that is consecrated just means that it's dedicated to God and set apart to serve him. I started by saying I found these verses difficult, and I mentioned quite a few different translations today, so I thought I'd end up with my own paraphrase of these verses, which maybe will help you as they have me. We give ourselves to serve God in our everyday lives, to acknowledge him and what he has done for us. We choose to act and think differently from the world around us, learning to do as he wishes and becoming more like him as we do so. Chris is now going to reread today's Bible passage again, but using the Message version. And afterwards, there will be a time of silence for us to reflect and ask the Lord what it means for us to respond to his mercies.
So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Chris has just read the reading from the Message version, which I think suddenly makes it so much more real to us about what we're talking about. And we're going to go into a time of consecration where there's an invitation to you today, after we've been so separated, after everything that's gone on over the months, to come and reconsecrate our lives back to the Lord. And the words in the Message version, take your everyday, take the ordinary lives that we live, our sleeping, our eating, our going to work, our walking, our going to the playground, our going to the school, our going to the shopping, our going talking to our neighbours, talking with our families. Take that and give it back to God and ask him to consecrate it. And let us give our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our lives fully back to the Lord. And we're going to do that by taking this into a time of silence, which gives you an opportunity to offer in your imagination, perhaps you'd like to act it out, but in your imagination, give back those aspects of your life to the Lord and ask him into those parts of your life. Ask him to take them and help you to be a living sacrifice in all of those areas. So we're going to have that moment of silence. And then we're going to come out of silence and we're going to share communion. Spiritually, we are doing it together. I know it's a bit weird. We're doing it over the internet. But spiritually, we'll be doing that in unity. And in that act of coming together and sharing the body and the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross for you and for me, we once again are encouraged and emboldened and filled against with the Spirit and consecrating our lives once again. So let us go into that moment of silence. Just in your imagination, offer those things back. So in that time of silence, having offered the many elements of our lives to the Lord, let us now come in our hearts spiritually together around the table. This is what Jesus did with his disciples before he was led to the cross. This is a moment, once again, of consecration, of been infilled once again by the enormity and the extraordinary things that Jesus did on that cross. And it is a mystery what happens at this moment. But let's come into this sacred space together. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all a perfect sacrifice for sin. And so on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread. He gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. The body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Now every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And I hope wherever you are at this moment, you perhaps have some bread or a little bit of wine as a symbol of us all sharing this extraordinary moment together. Let us say a post-communion prayer together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Aren't those, in the context of our worship today, extraordinary words? I wonder perhaps we could say them again. Almighty God, We thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen. Let us take this time of consecration, or reconsecrate, a consecration back into some worship.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you. There was a line in that song that was, we live for you. That declaration that we would be a living sacrifice. Lord, thank you for today. Help us to offer all of our lives to be a living sacrifice to you. Knowing that we're going to fail, but it's okay as we come back to you. You will lift us up once again and set us on our way. So, Lord, thank you. Help us to be the light in the world for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that has stirred you, encouraged you, and inspired you for the coming week and the beginning of this wonderful teaching series. It's not about intellectual information, it's about lived out lives, and I hope that will encourage you. Now, we're coming to the end of our service, but a number of notices. Firstly, just to encourage you to keep alert to the reconnecting events that are coming up. And St Andrew's is going to have a lunch, or St Andrew's and All Saints is going to have a picnic lunch on Sunday the 27th. So don't forget that. I'm going to be hosting a barbecue at our house on the 3rd of July. If you want to come to that, then please send us an email. There's a limited number of places, but there are plenty of places left at the moment. So come and let us know. And then 18th of July, we're going to be formally celebrating and saying goodbye to Eddie and Hannah. And we're going to hopefully have, it's the news is out, because Dave mentioned it on the news. We're going to try and get a hog roast. So that's the plan. So that's the 18th of July. Get that in the diary. But please, I encourage you, find other ways to connect. Have a coffee. Call someone you haven't seen for a long time. Go and have a lunch, or go for a walk on the hills or something, just to reconnect bit by bit over this summer. And one of the things about re-engaging as the body of Christ is that Dave is encouraging us to get involved in the SHAPE course. And here's a little video of him explaining what that means.
What shape are you? Well, of course, I'm not talking about whether you're tall or short, or whether you've put on an extra few inches over lockdown. But what shape has God made you for his ministry? You know, that's the question that we'll be talking about in our SHAPE course over these next few weeks. Life groups are going to be doing this course over the summer time. And if people aren't in life groups and want to do this course, we're going to be putting on extra courses too, and more of that in a moment. But as we, in these next few weeks, look at Romans chapters 12 to 15, we are going to learn more particularly about what it means to be God's people, God's church. And we'll be thinking next week about Romans 12, where it talks about the church being a body with many parts, and everyone being a different part to play in that body. But which part has God made you to be? Well, the SHAPE course is a 6-session course which helps us think about our spiritual gifts, our heart's desire, our abilities, our personality, and the experiences that we've had, and how God shapes us through all of these to have a part to play in his mission, in his kingdom. Not just in the church, not just about doing jobs in the church, but actually about where God has put you, even more importantly, and how God wants to use you out on your front lines. You know, for many people, the pandemic has been a really searching time, a time where many of us have perhaps questioned what our priorities and our purpose in life is. And many people will be coming out of lockdown different, a different shape, perhaps, with different passions and different perspectives. And it may well be that for some people, actually, some people were involved in ministries before lockdown, that actually now it feels not right to take those up again. And God is leading them into new ministries and new passions. And so we feel that this is a really good time to reflect together on how God has made us, and how the experiences of our life and perhaps of lockdown have shaped us for this next season ahead. And as we do that in groups, what we're going to do is we're going to hear each other's stories. We're going to share experiences, which is a great way too of reconnecting with each other. So if you're in a life group, find out from your life group leader if and when you'll be doing the SHAPE course. And if you're not in a life group or your life group isn't doing it and want to come and join us for these 6 sessions, then we're going to be starting a course this Tuesday, the 15th of June at 11 o'clock in the morning up at All Saints, and that will run for the next 6 Tuesdays. And if you would like to join that, then please drop me an email or just turn up on Tuesday and we'll just have session one together. And if you can't do that daytime on a Tuesday, then do let me know, because if there's the demand for it, we'll also put on an evening course over the next few weeks. There's more details of this on our website, on the SHAPE page on our website, and we're also hoping to run a special course for some of our older youth too over these next few weeks, because it's a great opportunity for them at this time to discover what their gifts are, what their God-given gifts are, and how God can use them. So I really encourage you to engage with this, have a look at the material on the website, and come and connect up either in a life group or one of our special groups and find out what shape God has made you for his mission in this next season.
Great, so that's all the notices, and there's lots of other information on the newsletter, so do have a good read of that. So let me finish our time of worship with a blessing, and thank you for being with us today. But the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and with us now and always. So let us go with our being living sacrifices. Let us go and love and serve God in our communities, in our daily lives. Bless you. Amen.